www.cityofcalgary.org/radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. In a moment, we're going to hear Florida This Week from this past Friday night. A lot of the discussion on Florida This Week was about guns and about the fallout from the Parkland Valentine's Day massacre. So we're going to talk about that for the next 25 minutes or so. Some very interesting and controversial things are going to be said in the next half hour as you listen. So as you listen to this program, if you want to respond to the things that are said, you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. Florida This Week is a program that I host on WEDU-TV, which is the PBS station in Tampa, and it usually features a Democrat, a Republican, and two professors or two journalists. And we're going to hear the show right now. Remember, if you want to respond to anything that you're about to hear, you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. Coming up next... High school students and their supporters rally in Tallahassee for limits on some kinds of guns in the wake of the Parkland massacre. The legislature beats back an attempt to debate a ban on semi-automatic rifles.
We are coming after every single one of you and demanding that you take action, demanding that you make a change.
7,000 people attend a town hall meeting in South Florida about guns. And fake news websites attack students who are speaking out about guns. Political Insights next on Florida This Week.
From the WEDU studios, this is Florida This Week. And now, moderator Rob Lurie.
Welcome back. This week, our panelists are Dr. Susan McManus is a distinguished professor of government and international affairs at USF in Tampa. John Dingfelder is a former Tampa City councilman and a Democrat. Tara Newsom is an attorney and a professor at St. Petersburg College. And Christian Ziegler is the GOP state committee man from Sarasota County. Thanks for coming. Great to have you here. Well, students from Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland and their supporters swarmed Florida's state capitol this week in the wake of the Valentine's Day massacre that killed 17 people.
Gun control! Now!
They want the legislature to enact stricter limits on guns. The 100 Stoneman Douglas survivors who traveled 400 miles to Tallahassee were welcomed into the gun-free zone of the state capitol. They were met by only a few of Florida's legislators. Many of the Republicans in Tallahassee won their seats with the backing of the National Rifle Association. Outside the capitol, the students held a massive rally.
I don't want anyone else in America or in the world to feel the way I did, unsafe in your own school, in your own city.
We just want to guarantee the safety to all the other students across the nation so that they don't have to experience what we went through.
Don't be aggressive, be assertive.
Republican legislative leaders are considering raising the age one must be to purchase a rifle. They might also create a longer waiting period for gun purchases, increase funding for mental health programs, and add additional funds for armed police officers assigned to schools. And Florida's Attorney General Pam Bondi wants to arm teachers.
So, Tara, you were up in Tallahassee. What was it like?
You know, there are over 5,000 students and supporters of gun reform there and thousands more around the country that were doing walkouts. And I think their steadfast commitment to honoring the victims and reducing gun violence in the future really was unparalleled in our current political landscape. And I think they were really interested in being heard and making meaningful change.
What's changed, though? Because, you know, we've gone through the Fort Lauderdale shootings, the Pulse shootings, the Newtown shootings, the Nevada, the Las Vegas shootings. Suddenly, things are changed. What's your sense about why it feels different this time?
Hashtag never again has a different meaning. And I think it's because of the divisiveness of identity politics. And I think Americans are starting to see and question some of the practices of interest groups like NRA. And these students, the same students that were up there this week, they were asking really astute constitutional questions like, if we have reasonable regulations on our freedom of speech and our freedom of religion, why aren't we having reasonable regulations regarding Second Amendment? And they took that civic knowledge and brought it to Tallahassee, and individuals all around the country are really having these real courageous conversations about what it means to be a constitutionalist, and they're taking that forward in something as powerful as gun violence and as intimate as losing a family friend or a colleague or a peer.
Christian, the NRA has won a lot of battles in Tallahassee over the last few years. Are they likely to lose this one, do you think?
Well, it depends on how you define a loss. I think there are Republicans that are open to making some changes, but this is something that really needs to be looked at. And, you know, this kind of, to go back to the march, it's a great show of democracy. This is how democracy should work. People get upset. People have their viewpoints. They go and let their elected leaders know. But it is important to remember what's going on here. You look at that march, it is being organized. There's people from the Women's March that are coming in, teaching them how to do this. We're leading up to 2018, and it's in our backyard, right? So I think that's what's causing a lot of this groundswell now, is this did happen in Florida. So I know there's Republicans, Democrats for a long time been talking about school security, so hopefully we're able to look at something and address that.
Do you think anything's going to pass? Do you think that there, for instance, the president said this week that we should harden schools, and by that he meant let's put more security guards in schools.
I think there's a lot of people that believe that needs to happen, and it's long overdue. You go on a plane, you go through security. You go into a courthouse, you go into security. I know there was a father that lost a child here that was in the White House. He said he went to the Department of Education. There was not only security at the entrance, but then when he went into the elevator, there was security. And I think our schools, look, I got two kids, they're 4 and 2. When they go to school, I want them to be secure. We need to do whatever we can while our kids, because some of these schools have 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in them, and we need to harden those schools. Keep them safe, and I think there's a lot of proposals that we'll see come out of Tallahassee.
And John, one of the president's proposals is to train teachers how to become armed guards in schools. You, for a time in your long career, you were a teacher. Is it a good idea to train teachers how to become armed guards in schools?
No, I think it's a horrific idea, and I'm glad to see most Florida politicians, even Republicans, including the governor, have basically rejected that idea of training teachers. Teachers' focus needs to be on their students and on educating. And yes, if we need to harden up the schools, you know, with professionals, with officers and what have you, that's fine. Teachers are not the appropriate people to be doing that, and I could give 100 reasons why, having been a teacher myself. The thing that concerns me is the steps that are being offered, and we saw a list come out about a couple hours ago from the governor, are just baby steps. They're just baby steps. They are afraid of the NRA, okay? But they're willing to toss everybody a little bone, but what they're not willing to do is take on the assault rifles. If somebody is basically going to be suicidal, and they take their assault rifle, that they're still going to be able to get, and whether or not they're 18 or 21 is irrelevant. So let's say they get it when they're 21, they can take it back to that school. And they can walk right in, and they can shoot everybody at the door, including the officer who might have a pistol, and then continue to walk right in. The assault rifles are the issue, and the Republican Party is afraid to take it on because the NRA tells them what to do. That's the lesson that students are learning right now, is the power of money and the power of the NRA to control this debate.
And that's why Al Hoffman, who is retracting money from Republicans and put an ultimatum down and said, basically, I won't be giving money anymore, and I want my Republican friends and donors not to do it anymore.
Hoffman, the big Republican donor.
And then we saw the First National Bank of Omaha, the largest private bank owned in America, retracting its branded Visas. And then you saw Enterprise Holding taking away their NRA discounts for Alamo National car rental and Enterprise rental. So you're seeing the private sector respond as well. So you're
Christian, you were shaking your head when John said that that Republicans are afraid of the NRA. Are Republicans afraid of the NRA?
No. But I think that, let's back up here. It's pretty disingenuous to sit here and talk about assault rifles are the issue. What we have are the left, they're seizing on a moment to be able to push their anti-Second Amendment agenda. That's why we're hearing about assault rifles, we're hearing about all this other stuff, instead of what's truly the issue here. They're focused on the how are people being killed? They're ignoring the why. And the only way you stop this is not by eliminating the how, but it's eliminating the why. Because people, if you eliminate the how, they're going to find a different how to do it. And that's why we need to focus on the why. And it's a shame, because on this issue, we have an opportunity to come together. There are rare issues that the whole country can come together behind. And I think if we focus on school security, security, all of us could come together, deliver, keep our kids safe, and prevent this from happening going forward.
Rob, I need to respond because I am a supporter of the Second Amendment. I have many friends who hunt. I respect that. I have many friends who want to have pistols in their house to protect themselves. I respect that. I resent the fact that you say just because I'm against assault rifles that I'm against the Second Amendment. I am not. This country banned machine guns in the 1930s with the Al Capone era. Okay, we were willing to step up and do that. Assault rifles are let me finish. Yeah. Assault rifles are equivalent to machine guns. And they're dangerous, and we don't need them. They're killing weapons. They were made for Vietnam to kill multitudes of people. We need to have the courage to eliminate them on a national level.
What makes them equivalent to machine guns, an assault rifle? What is an assault rifle? What makes them equivalent to a machine gun?
The fact that they can go in and kill 17 students in a matter of minutes.
The Virginia Tech shooting was done with handguns, and that killed a large number of students as well.
Does that make it better or worse or what? The bottom line is, last week, 17 students were killed in this state with an assault rifle very quickly. If that person had a handgun, maybe had to reload after six shots, people might have been able to rush him.
Let me bring Susan into this. Susan, have things changed? Because John made the point that the Republican Party is afraid of the NRA. The NRA seems to be at the center of this. People are taking sides, pro and con the NRA. And in the past, I think it's fair to say, the NRA won every battle it was in. Now is the same true heading into the future?
This is a very different kind of situation. For starters, people ask, well, how is this whole situation down in South Florida different from other killings like Pulse and also the nightclub? The bottom line is, you had children who were supposed to feel free and be educated, and somebody comes in and starts shooting. That is unacceptable to many Americans, no matter how they were killed. That's very different. Secondly, the fact of the matter is that people are absolutely wanting something done, and the pressure is on. Every mother, grandmother, grandfather, whatever, saw that and could identify vulnerable children trying to get an education mowed down, unacceptable in America. Followed by activism, people ask, well, why is this different? Because high school kids are the ones taking charge. High school kids are very upset. Every step of the way, they alerted all the authorities, whether it's government, whatever, nothing was done. And people in this country now know that something has to be done. But we've been talking only about guns. Our USF Nielsen Sunshine State survey last fall clearly showed over two-thirds of Floridians do not think that the state is doing enough with mental illness. The two are hand in hand. The gun issue by itself, the mental illness issue by itself, would not have been nearly as powerful as the two so vividly conjoined together for all to see. The fear of a lot of people is that, once again, the shortchanged part of all this is going to be helping people with mental illness.
Okay.
And the country's got to change the stigma about it, too.
Democrats in the State House wanted to debate a ban on the sale of assault weapons, but with the Parkland students watching from the gallery, the Republican-dominated House voted 71-36 to avoid a debate.
The bill, HB 219, would ban the sale and possession of semi-automatic weapons in high-capacity magazines like the kind used by the Parkland killer. Here's a list of the local House members who wanted to debate a ban on assault weapons. And here's a list of the House members who voted to block debate.
So, Christian, was the House right to block debate?
Yes. Actually, what's interesting about those names that we just watched go down the screen, there was one person that was missing that's a very important individual, and that's Jared Moskowitz. And Jared, he's a Democrat. He's in the House. He actually not only represents Stoneman Douglas in the legislature that's in his district, but he's actually also a graduate. And he's a Democrat, and he came out and said that this was clearly just a procedural game by the Democrats. They're trying to force a vote on this bill without it being discussed, being debated, without it going through the proper process with the committees. And this is an important issue, and obviously we need to address it, but we need to have legitimate debate if we're going to be taking away someone's liberties, and we need to really look at real solutions instead of just partisan games, which is what that was.
Moskowitz was out of town, so he missed the vote. That's why he was upset. But is an AR-15 part of our liberties?
Is it? Repeat that again.
You said if you're going to take away somebody's liberties.
Yeah, correct.
Is an AR-15 part of our liberty?
It's part of the Second Amendment. I mean, when you look at it, it's a...
Do you think the founders intended to have AR-15s extant across the land?
I think they intended for individuals to be able to have the right to bear arms. They didn't go in there and specifically say, you can't have a musket, you can't have a cannon, you can't do this.
You think they wanted them to have cannons?
I don't know. I don't know if you would say that. I mean, but back then it wasn't defined.
Right?
No, an AR-15. I mean, everyone says assault rifle. There's actually no such thing as an assault rifle. That's a term used by the left. When you look at an assault rifle, it is a semi-automatic rifle, just like any hunting rifle. It shoots the same. The only difference is it's got a stock on it. It's got black paint on it. It looks a little scary to people. But there's no difference between a quote-unquote AR-15.
And it shoots through walls and shoots through bodies. Would you say an AR-15 was intended by our founders?
I think what's absolutely magnificent that these students brought up is that we have reasonable regulations on all of our constitutional liberties. Our fundamental freedoms are important and they're protected against the government interfering, but there's reasonable regulations in freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and I think most people are looking at the Second Amendment. Many of the students who are Second Amendment advocates said, listen, we recognize this is a fundamental liberty. We're not asking to take that away. We're asking to have reasonable regulations and be at the table. To truly be a constitutionalist, you have to be able to understand that all of our fundamental freedoms and liberties have some kind of fettering. And so it's up to the state legislature to define what an assault rifle is and to be able to make those determinations. But it's up to us to be able to pressure them to say, listen, we accept reasonable regulations on our other constitutional liberties. We are ready to discuss this one as well. I think one of the inflammatory pieces of the Second Amendment debate is that we're somehow elevating the Second Amendment up to almost a sacrosanct level, that it's divinely protected. Isn't freedom of speech, freedom of religion just as important, but yet we accept limitations on those? So this is somewhat of a charade of a discussion.
And I'll answer your question, Rob. Because the courts have already decided that.
Absolutely.
During the 10 years during the Clinton era, when they banned the assault rifles and many of these other really dangerous things, the country didn't fall apart. The people were still had their Second Amendment rights, and the courts upheld those bans. And it's unfortunate that 10-year ban didn't continue. And if it had, maybe we wouldn't have lost 17 children. We might have lost two or three, but maybe we wouldn't have lost 17 last week. But the bottom line is the courts have already upheld the fact that we can limit the constitutional rights that are in the Second Amendment. And that was already done.
But Christian, we have just 15 seconds. You get the last one.
The point here is if you're going to restrict liberty, which this would be doing, and do you have a right to do that? Yes, of course, when you look at the other amendments. But if you're going to do it, you need to have a real debate on the issues, and you need to go through the proper process, because when you're restricting liberty, you need to be careful how you do it. And the second thing is, you talk about the assault rifle ban. You look at that, the 10 years period after the assault rifle ban went into place, the number of quote-unquote mass shootings, it didn't change. It was the same. It didn't go down.
My heart goes out to those students that came up to Tallahassee and wanted to exercise their civic liberties and their duty to talk to legislators, and they were denied that right.
7,000 people jammed into an auditorium in Sunrise, Florida on Wednesday to hear a discussion about what to do about gun violence.
U.S. Senator Bill Nelson, Congressman Ted Deutch, and Senator Marco Rubio all attended. Missing was Governor Rick Scott. Many of the toughest questions came to Senator Rubio from students who were in the high school during the shooting or from parents whose children had been murdered.
So right now, in the name of 17 people, you cannot ask the NRA to keep their money out of your campaign?
I think in the name of 17 people, I can pledge to you that I will support any law that will prevent a killer like this.
No, but I'm talking NRA money.
No. No, because...
matter of fact, guys, I bet we can get people in here to give you exactly as much money as the NRA would have.
But it's not. I understand. And you're right.
Senator Rubio, my daughter, running down the hallway at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, was shot in the back.
Yes, sir.
With an assault weapon. The weapon of choice.
Yes, sir.
Okay? It is too easy to get. It is a weapon of war. The fact that you can't stand with everybody in this building and say that, I'm sorry.
Sir, I do believe what you're saying is true.
So, John, who are the winners and losers coming out of that debate?
I don't think anybody can be a winner in any of this, but I give Marco Rubio credit and kudos for showing up and to stand there, and he knew he was going to take the barbs, and he did it, and I give him credit for that. I also give him credit for the fact that he indicated maybe there's a little softening in his position, and he used the term assault rifles. Maybe, you know, he'll soften on that. I hope he takes that position back to Washington and is real about it. But Bill Nelson was there too, and Bill Nelson has been consistent on this. Bill Nelson comes from a farming background and a hunting background and that sort of thing. He's a supporter of the Second Amendment, but at the same time, he's a supporter of common sense. And common sense says we need to do something. We need to do something meaningful and significant. Mm-hmm.
Susan, what do you think about the winners and losers coming out of that CNN town hall debate?
It certainly had an impetus to further action. For example, this afternoon there was a poll released that shows that a majority of Florida Republicans are in favor of dealing with the assault weapon issue, taking action, limiting, etc. And they're against some of the other things. Even a majority of gun owners were in favor of doing something about the assault weapons. It does come back to the fact that it's to the average person, again, to your point, it looks like it's a weapon that you don't need. If you hunt, you don't need to have that kind of weapon. If you're going to protect yourself in your home, you don't need that kind of weapon. And even elevating the age is at least a step in the right direction. The thing I worry about on this whole debate is that you're very quickly, you start to see it. It's all or nothing on both sides, and that's not going to work on this issue. And I do not, however, think that the pressure is going to let up one bit. If I've been asked one time, I've been asked I don't know how many times, whether I think that this is going to affect the elections in Florida in 2018, and my answer is absolutely unequivocally yes.
Okay. Well, as the teen survivors of the Parkland school shooting appeared on TV calling for protection from future shooters, in the right-wing media, such as InfoWars and on talk radio, and a commentator on CNN, and even an aide to a Hillsborough Republican State House member, the students are being portrayed not as grief-ridden survivors, but as pawns and actors intent on exploiting the tragedy to undermine the nation's gun laws.
In these fake news accounts, the students are described as crisis actors who travel to the sites of shootings to instigate anger against guns, or they're called FBI plants. They've been portrayed as puppets being coached and manipulated by the Democratic Party, by gun control activists, the anti-fascist movement, or by billionaire George Soros. The theories are not backed by facts. On Tuesday, the president's son, Donald J. Trump Jr., liked a pair of tweets that accused David Hogg, a 17-year-old who is among the most outspoken of the Parkland students, of criticizing the Trump administration in an effort to protect his father, a former FBI agent. After the Trump tweet, Hogg appeared on CNN.
It's unbelievable to me that these people are even saying this, and the fact that Donald Trump Jr. liked that post, it's disgusting to me.
So, Susan, what do you make of the fact that some people are out there attacking the students?
I think it's the fact of the matter is we're in a point in our society where this kind of thing happens all the time. Disgusting, untasteful kinds of commentary is made. The thing that really makes this whole argument fall apart for the people who are claiming it's fake, every one of these kids, you can see it in their face, had to walk over the bodies of a classmate or a teacher. And every person that's ever experienced tragedy and having to see some kind of heinous death, you can look in the faces of these children and know this is not fake, this is real. And it's one of the reasons that a lot of people have come together is when these kids have seen such tragedy and they're willing themselves to say enough and to be the impetus for other people to come together to claim that it's fake when they've been there and seen that, it just doesn't fly at all.
All right. Before we go, what other news story should we be paying attention to? John, let's start with you. Your other big story.
Well, we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's passing, and I think it's extremely relevant because he was an agent for change, for peaceful change. And where did change come from in the 60s? It came from the youth of America. That's what we're going to see. Folks are going to see it in November, and I completely agree with Dr. McManus on that.
All right. Christian, your other big story.
Yeah, I think it's still with what's going on now after Parkland. Looking at school boards, how are school boards going to respond to this? I know today there was a conference call for 400 people from around the state that are on school boards, that are involved with school boards. How are they going to address this at the local level? What do they do? How do they react? Do they harden their schools? Do they do other issues? Do they try to get funding? It'll be fascinating to see how the local governments respond.
All right. Tara, your other big story?
I think the blue wave is real. We saw a tremendous amount of individuals, especially women, Democrats, taking on seats that were traditionally Republican, and now they're being flipped to Democrat, and we're seeing the year of the woman continue, and it's going to really affect both the midterm election, I think the 2020 election. Couple that with the thousands of Puerto Ricans that have come to the state of Florida, and we have our toss-up purple state looking very, very blue.
Susan, your other big story?
The death of Billy Graham. I mean, Dr. King, Billy Graham, two people that have had moral impact on so many people and religious impact. They both are an exemplary of the freedom of religion, freedom of expression. You have to say, good job, well done, sir.
All right. Well, thank you all for a great show. Thanks for watching Florida This Week.
That was Florida This Week from this past Friday night on WEDU-TV. You can watch the video online at WEDU.org. And my guests on that panel were Dr. Susan McManus, a professor at USF in Tampa. Christian Ziegler is a state Republican Party committee man from Sarasota. He was on the panel. John Dingfelder, former Tampa City Councilman and a Democrat. And Tara Newsom is a professor at St. Pete College, also an attorney. And she was up in Tallahassee last week watching the massive protests against the NRA and against assault weapons. Got a lot of emails about this topic. You can send your email in to us at dj@wmnf.org. You can also call us up if you want to comment. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. I should say that we didn't read the names of the House members that voted for and against a debate on assault weapons. The list was too long. There's 120 House members. But I will send you that list if you want. All you have to do is email me at dj@wmnf.org, and I'll send you the complete list of Florida House members who voted for and against the debate on assault weapons. And Kevin in St. Pete was among the first emailers. Kevin writes this: on a local AM radio program with a fishing theme on Sunday morning, I asked the host whether he would use an AR-15, and the host said clearly it's not the guns. He didn't answer the question directly. Further indicated that he supports a farmer rancher's right to use an AR-15 from a helicopter to hunt for wild animals, boars. And Kevin writes, it was so appalling on many levels. And so we evaluate a right to spray bullets on animals versus a privilege to grow old. Privilege phrase being borrowed from Amy Goodman. That's Kevin in St. Pete. And then 352 anonymously writes, that wasn't knowledge that those students took to Tallahassee. That was a script. And when they deviated from those scripts, they were told that, no, that question has gone too far. So there's somebody from the 352 area code buying into the conspiracy theories, thinking that all 100 students were scripted. Thank you, 352, anonymous. And 727 writes, why was the list of representatives voting on the gun debate redacted from reading on the air? Yeah, we couldn't read that list. It was way too long. We gave out over the air, though, visually, we gave out phone numbers and email addresses if people wanted to contact their House members. And then 813 anonymously writes, why are automatic rifles illegal? How does the NRA feel about the legalization of automatic rifles? Writes 813 anonymously. Let's take some phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And thanks to Frank Knox. He's one of our phone producers today. Let's go to Mike in Palm Harbor. Mike, what's your comment about this issue?
Well, I'll tell you, I've I tend to be on the other side, but I listen to you guys for balance, and I really respect your opinion and your fairness. I've called in before and talked to you. We've had a pretty good conversation. But I wanted to bring something up that I don't think a lot of people are kind of thinking about, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. First off, my heart goes out, honestly, to all the families and the you know, people that are going through a tough time right now. It's a shame. But the Second Amendment, okay, when it comes to that, as a person who has defended this nation, it's about defending. How do you balance? And this is where I would like your opinion, again, because I respect it, and I'm willing to listen. When I see the Second Amendment, I see it as a citizenry's mechanism to defend against a government who may get out of control, because it is entirely possible for that to happen. What would be your opinion on a citizenry maintaining a healthy balance or a deterrent against a tyrannical government, and while at the same time protecting innocent lives? That's I would like to actually hear your opinion on that, because I am willing to listen.
Yeah, well, the Second Amendment wasn't written to rise up against the government that Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and others had just created. The Second Amendment was designed because the founders knew something they knew something about history. And what they knew is that having a standing army for any country is not good, because often that army is turned inward. So the army, which we fund heavily right now, the Pentagon we fund heavily right now, we have, in fact, I think it's fair to say that Second Amendment supporters are probably the biggest supporters of a giant army. That army could kill you at will. And our founders warned against that. They thought this was not a good idea. They wanted to be able to defend the country that they created, but they wanted to be able to raise up an army when needed to defend that country. So the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. What they were saying was that if we need to raise an army quickly, we don't want to have a standing army, but if we need to raise one quickly, we will. And we'll give everybody the right to be part of that militia to protect our country from the British, the French, name your group. And so that's why the Second Amendment is there. It wasn't there to overthrow the government that Thomas Jefferson and James Madison just created. They had no intention of destroying what they had just created. And so that's where I think Second Amendment the Second Amendment extremists go wrong. It wasn't to overthrow the government. And think about this. Most Second Amendment people support expanding military power, giving the military atomic weapons and tanks and AR-15s and something that you could never fight back against. So even if even if 3 million or 4 million Americans have AR-15s, if the government chooses to take out your house with a tank or bazooka, it can do it. In part because people who are Second Amendment supporters think that the military should be overfunded.
No, that's a very, I do respect your opinion. It's a very good thought that I didn't,
You notice that when the federal government passes its budget, the Pentagon is only funded 1 or 2 years out. And that goes back to the history of the Second Amendment. That is that the founders didn't believe in having a standing army. They believe that should we need an army, we'll create it. But we won't have a standing army, because we know what's happened in other countries that had standing armies. Those standing armies were turned inward on the people that they were supposedly there to protect.
Right, and I think that's when it comes to the Second Amendment supporters, I think down deep inside, that's where the concern lies. And I just wanted to clear one thing. I wasn't talking about overthrowing a government, merely kind of what you just alluded to, a slide toward an oppressive government. I have no problem, and I don't want to be misunderstood, with a legitimate, functioning government that serves its people. But, I would say that there should be some mechanism for the people.
Well, and I think that's
the government get out of hand.
I agree. There should be some mechanism for the people. But that mechanism is the courts, it's the press, it's elections, it's all these things that we have at our fingertips, some of which we use, some of which we don't use. And if the government becomes too far out, you you de-unelect the people that are too far out. You vote against them. And, you know, as long as you have civilian control over the military, I mean, the most powerful, the most potentially violent organization in our country is our Pentagon, is our military. And as long as that Pentagon subscribes to civilian control, I think we're okay. Once the Pentagon says, no, we don't subscribe to civilian control, then we're in deep trouble.
Well, I tell you, I appreciate your insight. I respect it, and I appreciate that you guys take calls from all directions, and thank you for what you do, and it was a pleasure talking to you once again. I appreciate your opinion.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Thanks for your call. 813-239-9663. You are listening to WMNF in Tampa, and let's go to Doug in Clearwater. Hey, Doug, you're on. What would you like to say?
Well, first of all, you blew me away. I had four things that I wanted to cover, and I'm sitting here thinking about and digesting what you just said. It's absolutely a wonderful response. But anyhow, getting back to what I wanted to talk about is earlier, one of the gentlemen that you spoke to said, in order to take freedoms away, we need to have a discussion. Unfortunately, this is the first time the pro-Second Amendment people are willing to have a discussion. So I don't understand where they're coming from. Like nobody else wanted to do it. The second thing is I can understand a hunter wanting a semi-automatic. However, when you're hunting, you're limited generally to five rounds. And with military-style weapons, effectively you can go to infinity with a clip. An AR-15 has you're easily able to purchase the 250-round clip. Who in their right mind would think that's a valid hunting vehicle? It doesn't make sense. So if we were to at least modify and remove the term assault rifle and say anything with an external clip or the capability of more than five rounds can no longer be sold, it doesn't mean that it would be recouping the guns that were already sold that are in that position, but just prevent them from being sold. I don't understand where there's an issue and a negative of that. And anyhow, I'm going to cut it short from there.
All right, Doug, thanks a lot. Thanks. I think that's a good thing to debate. Should we have these clips that hold a massive number? I don't know. Are there clips that hold 250 rounds?
Don't look at it as clips, because when Clinton was in office, there was two things. They disallowed for clips more than, I think, 10 rounds. And then the other thing is their definition of an assault rifle allowed Bushmaster to create the exact gun that was used in the Newtown killing of the children. That gun was a legal gun under the ban of, quote, assault rifles. And when you use the term clip, to me, it brings out a different thing, whereas a hunter, like the gentleman you just had on a moment ago, I'm sure as a hunter, he would prefer having his M1 with a five-round internal or a 30-06 with a five-round internal versus some crazy 250-round AR-15 or even SKS out there.
Well, Doug, I think you make a good point, and I think limits on how many rounds can be fired when a rifle is fully loaded. I think that's a really important debate to have.
Yep, thanks.
All right, thanks, Doug. Thanks for pointing that out. 813-239-9663. Lou in Clearwater writes, the debate is nonsense. We know what to do. Just follow what any sensible country has done to successfully reduce gun deaths and mass shootings. The only conversation should be why we are not doing it. Same for our out-of-control health care. We know what needs to be done. The only cure for either subject is to elect representatives that will do what needs to be done, writes Lou in cyberspace. Yeah, you know, we've played several times this great piece from Comedy Central. John Oliver went to Australia to find out why there have been no mass shootings since they passed a ban on assault weapons in Australia. And he found out that conservatives championed the ban on assault weapons. And since then, which the last mass shooting happened about 15 or 20 years ago, there haven't been mass shootings in Australia. And we played those clips several times because they're so funny. 813-239-9663. To Doug's point, too, about AR-15s, I just, for the heck of it, this morning was looking up wounds, AR-15, on doing a Google image search. They're not easy to find, but there are some pretty enlightening bits of information on the web in terms of images of what a round from an AR-15 can do to a shoulder, can do to a knee, can do to an abdomen. And you should look those up. They're pretty hard to find. You have to do some searching when you do a Google image search, but eventually you can find it and find links to others. And I think that's one thing that's not been shown on American television, is that we don't really see the impact of these rounds going into a human body. They can actually go through the body and damage the body next to them, damage the person next to them. And as I said on the show, one of the dangers of a gun like an AR-15 is that it can shoot through walls. A wall really doesn't do much to stop an AR-15 round. So let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Tommy in St. Pete. Hey, Tommy, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
First and foremost, thank you as always, Rob. Very insightful, as always. I'm sick and tired of all these NRA people, right-wing gun nuts, all these people who, quote, be Second Amendment advocates. I'm very sick and tired of them saying that I am not for the Second Amendment, because a long, long time ago, the NRA stripped away my Second Amendment right to a well-regulated militia. And it's not there. All these people are completely unregulated. There are, and all they want is less regulation. And it's just baffling. I just don't understand. And the definition of an arm, that does not mean a gun. If you want to go back to the founding fathers, let's all go back to having muskets. And the whole thing is, the reason why they needed everybody to be able to have the right to bear arms, because it took an entire militia to put down as much firepower as that guy did in 4 minutes. And it probably would have taken an entire militia about 5 minutes to put that much firepower down line in that same capacity. And I'm just so sick and tired of hearing these people say, oh, they're trying to take away your Second Amendment rights. They're trying to take away your Second Amendment rights. My Second Amendment right got taken away from me probably before I was born. I was born in 1984. So I am sick and tired of hearing. That's all I really have
to say. Yeah. Tommy, do you have kids? Do you have kids?
I have a 9-year-old son, and well, I just had to have the conversation with him a couple of days ago about what he needs to do if that ever happens to him. And he didn't want to go to school the next day.
Yeah, I can't, my kids are older, but I can't imagine having the fear of sending my 9-year-old off to school and wondering whether or not he's going to come back home alive. But that's got to be a fear that every parent has right now today.
Yeah, and what, I don't care about my fear. What messes me up is that my son has this fear, and he's 9 years old, living in freaking Florida. And all these people who say, oh, well, we need this to be able to protect ourselves from the government if that ever happens. The government wants you done, guess what? They're going to take you out with a strategic strike from a drone. And guess what else? No matter how much the NRA lobbies, no one's ever going to let you have a tactical drone to as an arm. Even though you have the right to bear arms, you don't have the right to bear that arm. So where do we draw the line? I don't think it's at assault rifles. I think we need to come up with a whole new division of non-lethal defense.
Yeah.
And that would still be an arm, and we would still have the right to bear it.
All right, Tommy, thanks a lot. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, I know how you feel about your 9-year-old. 813-239-9663. You know, Tommy's point about the first part of the Second Amendment, which says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. I have not been there, but I am told, and maybe you've been there, if you go to the NRA headquarters, the big building in Washington, D.C., they do have the second part of the Second Amendment inscripted on the overhang to the entrance to the NRA headquarters, but they don't have the first part. They don't quote the whole amendment. And I always thought that these guys were supposed to be constitutionalists. You know, you're not supposed to pick and choose the Constitution. It's written plainly in complete language. So the Second Amendment says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. At the NRA, I think what it says there was that the right of the people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. That's how they quote the Second Amendment. They don't quote the whole thing. And I think that's very odd for an organization that says it subscribes to the U.S. Constitution. It only subscribes to part of the Constitution if it didn't print the whole Second Amendment. Pete writes this, the Republicans seem to think that more guns are the solution. That really angers me. Can you imagine what it would be like to go to school and there being military police or worse, armed security volunteers? I would not want my sons to go to school to be intimidated, followed, or harassed by aggressive militants. I would not want my daughters going to school where there are armed men who are going to be watching them, stalking them, getting a special feeling for them, and sexually abusing them after graduation. That's part of Pete's long email. Pete, thank you for that. Thanks to Lynn from Sarasota making a $100 donation to WMNF, a favorite show, the Acoustic Peace Club. Craig writes this, please send me the debate list from Friday night, from the Friday night TV show. Okay, I will. Craig, I'll send you the list of the House members that voted for and against having a debate about assault weapons. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Asheville. Mike, Mike, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I've got two disparate takes, and then you give me your feedback. Sometimes we notice things anecdotally that are just true, and I'm thinking the school systems and the education in the U.S. is nowhere near what it was 40 years ago. And after World War II, when all the GIs got to go to college, we had the highest percentage of Americans that ever attended college. And from that, you saw the fruition of the 60s, the science and the space program. But now we're in an Orwellian phase where ignorance is strength, and things are done to undermine the educational system that will make us an easier populace to control. And I don't think that's accidental. You know, the things like charter schools, allowing shootings in schools. It's not a welcoming environment anymore to go to school, and we're not learning like we used to learn.
But Mike, wouldn't you say that those kids that came out of the Stoneman Douglas High School are some of the smartest people you've ever heard, no matter what age group? I mean, aren't these kids very impressive?
I agree with that, but I think we're seeing the cream of that crop. I can't let this go today without saying that anybody out there that's foolish enough after all the information to be a supporter or well thinker of Reverend Billy Graham just needs to go back and listen to the Nixon tapes. Graham was an odious human being, and I'm quoting right now from the 1972 Oval Office conversation between Tricky Dick and Reverend Billy Graham. Graham says, "This stranglehold of Jews in the media has got to be broken, or the country's going down the drain." Nixon says, "You believe that?" Graham says, "Yes, sir." Nixon says, "Oh, boy, so do I. I can't ever say that, but I believe it." And Graham says, "No, but if you get elected a second time, then we might be able to do something."
Yeah, I remember that quote. Hey, Mike, you're up there in Asheville. Have the newspapers reported what Billy Graham's net worth was at the time that he died?
No, but I know you and I have talked about it. He owned a compound that is actually an entire mountain that is on the south border of the Blue Ridge Parkway. So just that mountain, if anybody wants to look at Google Earth and look at this thing called the Cove, it's Billy Graham's tantamount to a military base. So I think the guy was worth hundreds of millions, but I don't think we'll ever know.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments. 813-239-9663, Jillian in Hudson. Jillian, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hi, I was just calling in to comment on the reference you made to the Google images of the devastation that an actual, you know, assault rifle can do as far as damage. And as a healthcare provider, I'm expected to carry a lot of malpractice. And, you know, just as somebody that drives a motor vehicle or anything else, you know, you're expected to carry some sort of liability coverage for those, to operate a machine, to, you know, provide a service to the community, whether you're, you know, a contractor or a, you know, medical professional. And so with the increased frequency of these mass shootings with the assault rifles, it would just seem like the conversation would start leaning towards requiring people to register and to also carry, have proof of liability for the gun that they own and start paying a premium on that.
Yeah, you know, apparently this kid that shot up the high school in Parkland, he had a key to the cabinet where the AR-15s were stored, and the family that he was staying with thought that they had the only key. So I, to your point, is that I think families would keep their be better prepared, would lock their weapons up more strongly if they knew that they could be sued, or if they knew that there would be some monetary damages, or that
sure,
the insurance rates,
I mean,
would go up if they mishandled the guns. And apparently this family mishandled the guns because there was an extra key.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and this is, we live in such a litigious society where, you know, lawsuits are brought against people who are actually sent in to kind of clean up these messes. You know, when you think about the healthcare providers, the trauma surgeons and everybody else, the amount of liability that they have to carry just to provide those services to people after a mass shooting like this, it's unbelievable that we haven't shifted this conversation or the requirement. I come from a family that, you know, guns are a rite of passage, and I've almost risked estrangement because after my children were born, there were certain people, because of their own injuries they've caused to themselves with guns and the fact that they have other behaviors, that I just don't find them safe to be, you know, gun holders, let alone assault rifle owners, which they are. I mean, it seems beyond, you know, just my understanding of how we can allow this to continue to happen without holding people accountable.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Jillian, on your other point, have you ever seen the damage done by a rifle round, by a bullet?
I have. Well, some of my experience was med-surg prior to becoming a provider, and then it was, you know, I've also had some trauma experience, and then actually just went through some extensive training, and penetrating injuries from gunshots in general are devastating, but any gunshot can cause devastation. And I know people, you know, guffaw at shotguns, but I've seen people with colostomy bags from that. So, I mean, the argument could be, yes, any penetrating wound can cause massive devastation, you know, or death. And the fact that we allow it to happen to our children is insane to me. And the fact that that people who feel like, yeah, sure, if you feel like you have the right to own one of these guns, it just seems like you should also be required to carry the liability that goes with that.
Yeah, I think these people have the right to own these guns, maybe some of them, not maybe AR-15s, but certainly hunting rifles.
I have
the right, you have the right to be safe if we choose not to have guns, to be safe from being shot. And that's the right that just hasn't been explored, yeah.
Right. The financial burden of these injuries and you know, the hospitalizations of these children, not to mention just the lifelong devastation that it's going to cause them and their families and their communities, it just seems like we should be shifting the conversation towards carrying liability for it. I mean,
I agree. Yeah, Julian, a lot of people have made that comment that gun owners should have insurance. Thanks a lot for making it again. And Kathleen writes, why are we giving kudos to Marco Rubio for showing up to that CNN debate? It's his job, the job he has not been doing, meaning listening to his constituents, writes Kathleen. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play those comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for the Midpoint program, including a speech by one of the students who